I'm going to start with an obvious statement here. We all have a past, we are all here in the present, and we all have a future. So, seems pretty obvious, right? It's fairly obvious. Of course, the past and the present and the future, they're all concepts of time, and we're all familiar with what those things are. We all have memories of our past, as I said. We can all recognize that we're here in this present moment, and we can all look forward to some event in the future. Some of you may actually already be planning where you're going to go eat. Hopefully, he's not going to take too long. I can go get something to eat. So we're all looking forward. We can all look forward to something in the future. Now, in our minds, time is linear. There's a distinct past, a distinct present, a distinct future. Although there is a theory that the past and the present and the future are all actually kind of simultaneously happening. Einstein apparently came to this conclusion at the end of his life. He said, "For us physicists, believe the separation between past, present, and future is only an illusion, although a convincing one." So it is a convincing illusion, but they say it's just an illusion. That's all. It's all physics, right? Now, I found as I've gotten older that I've spent a lot more time thinking about this concept of time. Since I turned 40 a few years ago, it seems like I spend more and more time thinking about the past. Thinking because there's things I can't do now that I could do when I was younger. But when I turned, and part of what made me start thinking about the past was also thinking about the present. When I turned 40, I really thought to myself, well, wait a minute, I was like 18 just yesterday. How in the world did I get to this point? So it started me thinking about the past. And of course, with that, you also start thinking about the future. Getting closer to retirement, getting closer to those type of things. So, and then this year, due to some deaths in our extended families, I really started thinking about this concept, the past, the present, and the future. Death has a way of doing that to you. My wife had two aunts who died this year. I had an aunt and a cousin who died. My cousin was just about 10 years older than me. So with those deaths, of course, came lots of memories. You just have all these memories that pictures on Facebook. Facebook's great for that, right? We have all these memories. Just yesterday, I wasn't able to go to my aunt's memorial, but one of her granddaughters had posted the video from that memorial. And of course, there's pictures of her when she was younger, and pictures of her when she was at my grandparents' house, and things. And so you start doing this little trip down memory lane. Start thinking about those things. And of course, in that situation, it always gives you pause to think about the present, to be thankful for where you're at right now. And of course, it also makes you start thinking about the future, your own mortality. These people, at least my cousin and my aunt, they were fixtures in my family. I mean, at every family gathering when I was little. So never thought about them being gone. I guess I thought naively when I was a kid that everything was just going to go on the way it was. But it doesn't. And of course, these things have a way of reminding us that things do change. Now, time, regardless of it being linear or existing simultaneously, it's a funny thing when you think about it. When we're kids, time often goes really slow, right? It just seems like it takes forever. Especially when you're anticipating something, a big event, a birthday or whatever, it just seems like it takes forever. I mean, every minute has 90 seconds in it at least, and every hour has at least 1,000 minutes. I mean, it takes forever to get to where you're going when you're a kid. Now, of course, I can't get time to slow down. No matter how hard I put my feet down, the merry-go-round just keeps going faster and faster. Another odd thing is I think about the past. I wish I had spent more time paying attention to the present, those moments that I was looking forward to. Those occasions, because now some of those things are just fuzzy memories. They're not real crystal clear. Some things are just some things I can remember, and it's just kind of a feeling. It's like, oh, that was a happy time, but I don't remember the details. And I like to say I'm better at it now, but truth be told, I'm not that much better at paying attention to the present moment and living each moment to its fullest. And of course, the future is odd too. When we're younger, we don't give it much thought. And then all of a sudden, That's all we're doing is thinking about the future. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to study? What am I going to work? Where am I going to work? Where am I, you know, what am I going to do for my kids, my family vacations, just different things like that. And then, again, we start to realize that life is finite. Now, God gave us this concept of time, the sense of past and present and future, and we can use those things. It's to teach us in this walk of life. I'm going to look at each of these concepts today and what Scripture tells us about each one. So we'll start with the past. What is it? What is the past? Well, again, according to Einstein and Stephen Hawking and all these other physicists, it's nothing. It's just this concept or this construct that we have in our mind, right? But according to the dictionary, it's gone by or elapsed in time. So it's what's behind us, right? It's a period of time behind us. Our births, obviously, behind us. This year, it's been 30 years since I've graduated from high school. I know that's hard to believe. I mean, but I graduated real young. No, I was 17 when I graduated. But it's been 30 years. So obviously, my high school years are behind me. That's in the past. So the past is, again, it's that. It's a period of time that's behind us. We all have a past. Again, the nations have past. The world, the entire world has a past. It's what we study when we study history. But we can also get too obsessed about the past. People can get real obsessed about their past, and it can have an effect on our present. Sometimes we might have regrets about our past, and that can affect what we do or how we live. Regrets about things that we did or didn't do. In the Frank Sinatra song, My Way, there's the line, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I have a lot of regrets, and not too few to mention. And if I had a chance, I'd go back and change those things. But regrets can be paralyzing, because if we just focus on that and we think about that, and, oh, I wish I'd done that, and it's all you ever think about, then, of course, that could hold you back. You're just constantly reliving that and regretting and not letting go. That, okay, it didn't happen. Some folks also could have a traumatic past, some trauma or tragedy in their past. And that could affect their present and their future. A person could become bitter about that and not let go of that. They might have trouble trusting others. They may be beat down by that past and allow things to continue to happen. And a person can also become obsessed about reliving the past, yearning for the past. Now, as I think of the memories, again, I wish I could go back. I do wish I could go back and visit my grandparents again and do all those things. But, no, I can't. There are people that they focus so much on those glory days, and that's what they want to go back to. They may spend all their time trying to relive that glory, those glory days, because it was just better than what their present is. So if we obsess on the past, it can be a bad thing. But here's the thing about the past. We have to remember it, but we also have to forget it in a way. In order to be productive human beings, we have to remember our past so we can learn from it, but we also have to leave it behind us. Let it be in the past. Again, you can have a traumatic event in your past, and it's something that you caused or something that you were innocent in. But either way, to live your best present moment, you have to remember that it happened, but again, you have to leave it behind. There's a saying that those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. It's a quote regarding the study of history. Usually you hear it with that. And it's true. I mean, on that larger scale, if we forget what caused certain wars or certain events in history, then it's likely those things are going to continue and come and happen again. And it's the same thing on a personal level, too. If we forget those things, then we could end up making those mistakes again. If we forget, the mistakes that we've made, then we might remake them. But if we leave them in the past, then again, we remember them, but we leave them in the past. We don't repeat them. There are things that I remember, things that I've done, mistakes that I've made, and I'm not remembering them to relive them. I'm not saying, hey, yay, those were great days. But those things, you remember them, you learn from them, and you move on. So the past really can be a balancing act of remembering and forgetting. Really, in just the right amounts. It's about learning from our mistakes or events in our past, and it's about somehow leaving the baggage of the past behind to become better. And Scripture tells us the same thing. We're told to remember the past. If you turn with me in the Bible to Romans. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15, 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The complete Jewish Bible has it this way. It says, for everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that with the encouragement of the Tanakh, we might patiently hold on to our hope. So the history is recorded in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New as well. It's recorded for us to learn from, so that we might have patience in the present and a hope in the future. But Paul also says, if you turn over into Philippians 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So he forgets about the things in the past. He remembers them. He said we're supposed to learn from them, but we're also supposed to forget them, leave them in the past, and keep moving forward. A little more on that. If you turn back to 1 Corinthians 10, read verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So again, Paul's referring here to the fact that we have to learn from the past, from the mistakes of others, the mistakes of a whole nation. Something we should remember, and it's something we should learn from. Moses uses the same logic. You don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 4:9 says, Moses told the people, he said, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. They were to remember these things that had happened to them, the things that had happened in their past, and they were to keep teaching them on. And we know that they forgot. They forgot to remember, and thus they became examples for us. Brethren, we can't forget to remember the examples that are put forth in Scripture. Can't forget to remember the things, the examples even from our own lives, our own past lives. Again, there are things that I remember that hopefully I've learned from, and I won't do them again. I don't remember them so that I can repeat them, but for the purpose of not repeating them, and then, again, putting them behind me. So the past, this time construct, it's in a lot of ways, it's set up for us to learn. To set up for us to learn from and to leave behind, to gain wisdom from, but not to obsess about. So what about the present? The present, actually, like the Wikipedia definition on this, I know Wikipedia is not always the best source, but the present, this is the definition there, the present, or here and now, is the time that is associated with the events perceived directly and in the first time, not as a recollection perceived more than once, or a speculation which is predicted or hypothesis. It's a very precise definition. The present is the period of time that's not recollection, so it's not in the past, which is what recollection is, and it's not speculation, which is what the future is. It's this moment right now. And this is actually one point where I think Einstein may be right, because if you think about it, I mean, I'm in this moment, now this moment's the past, and that moment's the future. I mean, just let that sink in. Every moment, you're going to the future and the past. One moment's going to the past, and the other's going to the future. So, but because it's so fluid, so it is a fluid thing, the present, we often expand our idea of the present. So the present, it includes some of the past and some of the future. So I'm here at services. I'm presently at services. I'm not thinking that I'm right here at this moment at 2:00 whatever. I'm not here at services. What I'm thinking is, I got here at 1:00. I'm going to leave here around 4:00. I'm presently at services. So we expand it because it is, again, such a fluid thing. And when we think of our present in comparison of our past and our future, again, we tend to expand it even more. I mean, I'm presently on vacation. Well, we're not really thinking just this moment. We're thinking that week or however long we're on vacation. We tend to bundle it together. And we're told that we have to live in the moment, to live in the present, right? And stop and smell the roses, all those good things. And it's true to an extent. We should. Living in the past, as we've said, can be a bad thing. It can be debilitating. It can steal from your present joy. And living with an eye, or often a worried eye, to the future, well, that can also steal from your present joy. So we do need to focus on the moment, on the present as we experience it. But that doesn't mean to be swept away by the moment, just so we're living in the moment. That's often what people do when they want it, when they're living in the moment. Just whatever comes along, I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to experience this, right? A few years back, you would see the term YOLO, Y-O-L-O, and you only live once, which can be all right. Again, it tells you, you should try things, that sort of thing. But again, it could be pretty bad if all you're doing is everything that sweeps by you, just going to try that, I'm going to sample that, because I'm going to live in the present, I'm going to live in the moment. We do have responsibilities to the present. And we can determine these responsibilities by considering what the purpose of our life is, by looking at what God says the purpose of our life is. But of course, to know what is expected of our present, we have to go to the past. So if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 6, we'll read verses 4 through 9, and then 13 through 19. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Drop down to verse 13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land in which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. Now, the first few verses of this scripture are part of a daily prayer in Judaism. It's called the Shema. It's a daily reminder of what they are to do, of what they are to be doing in the present. In the present moment, it's verses 4 through 9, we're to be loving the Almighty, loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. We're to be teaching and walking in the way that we've been taught. Now, this is repeated in part by the Messiah. If you turn now to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, very familiar verses. We'll read 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So our purpose, what we should be doing with our present, is this: learning to love our Almighty God and Father with our whole heart, our whole being, our whole strength, and then learning to love our neighbors as ourselves. Learning agape love is what we should be doing in each of our present, in our present moment. So we do have that responsibility to the present. Can't be swept away. We need to live in the present. We can't be swept away by just whatever comes along. It's a pretty tall order, actually, for our present to be doing this, but it's essential for our future. And that, of course, leads us to the next construct of time, the future. Well, what is the future? Well, the future, of course, by definition, is that which comes after the present. Tomorrow is the future. 5 minutes from now is the future. 5 hours from now is the future. The future is where our hopes and our dreams live, because that's what we're goals. Those are the things we're going for. They're all in the future. We look forward to planned events. Like I said, it could be a vacation, or it could be the Feast of Tabernacles. It could be the next holy day. We look forward to those things. But the future can also be a scary place. It can be kind of scary. And just as the past can be debilitating, the future can be as well. And the reason is because, of course, the future is unknown. We don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. I don't know what's going to happen 5 hours from now. Future is unknown, and we have this desire, of course, to control. We want to control what's going to happen, and we can't. So the future, again, it can be scary, and it can be debilitating if we focus on it too much. We often want to seek to know what's going to happen in the future. I remember during my second to last semester at college, I was in the bookstore there at Western, and they had a book by Nostradamus. Everybody know who Nostradamus is? He was a French man who supposedly was a seer. And so in 1555, he published a book that had all these prophecies. Now, as I was flipping through the book, I remember reading one prophecy, and it seemed to indicate that the very next year, the world was going to be on fire. Of course, I'm thinking, great, I graduate next year. The world's going to be on fire. It's great. That's really great. Now, I didn't really believe Nostradamus, but of course, in the back of my mind, though, still, it kind of planted, what if? What if? What if that happened? What am I going to do? What will happen? We can all relate to that. We've all probably had that, where we get into the what-if thinking. It's future thinking, but it's usually kind of thinking that's only going to lead to anxiety and fear. I am, as my wife can tell you, good at this kind of thinking. I'm very good at the what-if thinking. I have a tendency to go to the worst-case scenario and then work my way back. I stub my toe, I'm going to die. Okay, well, no, this is what happened. So I tend to work my way back, and usually I somewhere I get in a little more control. But my first reaction is the worst case. And it's because of what-if thinking. What if? What if that broken toe gets infected? What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? It doesn't matter, obviously. And like I said, so I do tend to work my way back. But so not worrying about the future, it's not easy. It's not something that's easy to do. But it's something that we have to do. If you turn back just to Matthew 6, 31 through 34... Again, very familiar verses 31 through 34. It says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Do you see what Christ says there in 34? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future. Don't get into that future thinking of what if. It's only going to lead you to anxiety and fear. Instead, spend each day seeking his kingdom. Seeking his kingdom, being focused on our purpose in life, which is to learn to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. Just don't worry about tomorrow. Again, easier said than done. And the great thing is about this, though, we have promises about the future. Promises from our faithful Creator, our faithful Father. And these promises are what we need to focus on when we find ourselves feeling anxious or thinking about the future and worrying about it. We do have the promise of the kingdom. We have a promise of eternal life as a child of God. We have promises of glory beyond what we can imagine. So we need to bring our focus back there, not worry about tomorrow. The theme for the youth camps this year kind of had that. Jeremiah 29. Turn there. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Our Creator God has us mere humans, with all our mistakes, all our flaws, all that. He has us in his thoughts. He has plans for us. He has plans for our future. That's awesome. I mean, that just think, let that sink in. That's just awesome. And it's not just for our future here on earth. It's not, he doesn't have plans necessarily where I'm going to go eat after services. But he has a plan for my eternal life. His plan for me is not just for this age, it's for eternity. So while we don't know the future, we can't see each and every event that's going to get us there, we can rest confident in the fact that he's got our back. He's with us. He's promised. And his promises are sure. We have hope. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1, verse 6, says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul was confident in that, and we should be confident as well. We have that same confidence. He has begun a good work in us, and he will complete it till the day that the Messiah returns. So, of course, we do need to think about the future. We need to plan for it. We need to be looking forward to it. We need to be watching prophecy and as that unfolds. We need to be doing those things and planning, but we don't need to be worried about the future. We don't need to be anxious about it. He is working out the future for us for our good. There was a song in the 80s that was, "The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades." I don't know if anybody remembers that song. It was about nuclear annihilation is what it's supposed to be about. But the future's so bright, I've got to wear shades. That's our future. We got to put our shades on because we have that bright future. Now for our final scripture, if you'll turn back to Romans 15, verse 4, once again. And I'll just read this from the Complete Jewish Bible again. Romans 15, verse 4. "For everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that with the encouragement of the Tanakh, we might patiently hold on to our hope. So we are to learn from our past so that we can live in our present, patiently live in our present, holding on to our hope for the future. Sums it up. That's what those time concepts are for us. So brethren, according to the physicists, the past, the present, and the future, they're just all constructs in our minds. And they're all happening at the same time. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But for all of us non-physicists, as we reflect on our past, let us continue to learn from it, but not dwell in it. And as we enjoy our present, again, let us use every minute to become better children of God. And of course, as we consider our future, let's put on our shades. Let's focus on the kingdom and the plans he has for us, because they are plans for our future and for hope.